This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place.
Hello, this is Guy Clinch, a regular contributor to the GovLoop blog with a podcast on the APN Podcast Network, continuing the conversation about answering Joshua Millsap's question, is remote work too remote? Today, may I introduce you to Kay Phelps. Kay is a contact center marketing person for North America for Jabra and has numerous years of experience in working with remote contact center agents. Kay, welcome to the APN Podcast Network.
Thank you, Guy. It's a pleasure to join you today.
Kay, you've had a significant history in working with companies who employ remote workforces. We hear from organizations that one of the big challenges is providing supervisors with the skills necessary to manage remote workers. What are some of the successful personnel management techniques you've seen?
Thanks, Guy. That's a great question. First of all, I think you want to make sure that you select the right candidates for the work. Managers who are transitioning existing contact center agents to work from their home office need to think about whether that person is someone who is able to work independently, whether they're self-motivated, whether they're conscientious, all of those type characteristics, which are important for agents regardless of where they're working, but become especially important when they are working from their home offices. And then one of the very important things that managers need to keep in mind is to have a policy statement where it spells out the conditions of working at home. What does that agent's work environment look like? What hours will they work? What are the expectations? What performance metrics must they hit? And then the supervisor needs to carefully review that policy statement with each agent before they transition to a home agent environment. Some companies even have a trial period where they agree with the agent beforehand that they will trial it for a period of perhaps a few weeks, and then if the agent is not happy with that arrangement, or if it's not working from the contact center manager's perspective, then they have the ability to bring that agent back into the office. By having this trial period, it enables either the supervisor or the agent to say, this isn't really working so well, and enable that agent to come back into the office, and no one need know whether it was the agent or the manager who decided that this was not a good fit for that particular agent. So the policy statement, it's important that all of that information is spelled out in the policy statement and that the manager review it with the agent prior to the agent transitioning to the home office. The manager should also have regular meetings with the agents using video perhaps, so that they have that face-to-face contact. And then another tip is that the manager should be available to the home agent, perhaps via embedded instant messaging. There are some tools with the Avaya solutions and also with other solutions that enable embedded instant messaging, for example, with the agent desktop, that lets that agent immediately reach out to a supervisor, essentially making it seem as if that supervisor were just over the cubicle wall. One other resource that is a good one to think about for managers of home agents is a training workshop. There is a company called Customer Contact Strategies that was formed by Michelle Rowan. She's formerly of Hilton Hotels, and she managed a program which took over 1,000 agents from in-office to home agents. And so she has workshops that you can check out on the web.
Those are great points, Kay. Is there anything else that you'd like to point out?
Guy, there is one more point that I should emphasize, and that is that when you are transitioning in-office agents to home office, it's going to help tremendously if you would simulate that home office environment in your office. Establish a workspace with the same technology that the agents will be using. using and give them a chance to actually work from that simulated home office workspace for a day or so before they transition to home. It gives them a chance to use the technology that they're going to be using at home, such as that embedded instant messaging that we talked about, perhaps video, and to use the headsets they'll be using. And one of the things that you'll definitely want to keep in mind with home agents, some companies perhaps might think, well, we don't have to have the same quality with the headsets because we won't have another agent sitting in the next cubicle. That is just as important to use that headset technology, that premier equipment, because the home office agent may be having a doorbell ring in the background occasionally, or a dog might bark. The children may come home from school. So whatever those technology components are, you're going to want to make sure that you simulate that in the in-office environment before the agent transitions to home. So let me just recap those, Guy, if I could take just a moment. So first of all, before you send agents home, make sure that you select the right candidates. Secondly, establish a policy statement. Review it with the agent prior to transitioning to home. Have regular meetings with the agent. Make sure you're available to those home agents via IM, phone calls, and so forth. Maybe consider going to training workshops. And then make sure you simulate the home office environment in the office and give the agent a chance to use all that technology before they go live with it from home.
So, Kate, what is the role of call management systems in supervising the remote workforce?
Guy, as you know, reporting and analytics is really important to ensure that you are able to accurately monitor and manage agents, regardless of whether they're in the office or at home. It's especially important with home agents because, obviously, the supervisor does not have the ability to walk by their office or by their cubicle. So the reporting and analytics solutions should allow you to, of course, make sure that the agent is adhering to the schedule, that you can easily assess their statistics, that agent's metrics, such as talk time, wrap-up time, and so forth. And then you need the ability with tools like Avaya Call Management System and like Avaya IQ that enables you to compare home agent statistics to those that are in the office, and also perhaps to compare an individual agent statistics prior to moving to the home office and then after they've moved to the home office, and just ensure that the agent is performing as well, if not better, from their home as they were in the office.
What are the roles of performance and quality monitoring in the management of remote workforces?
Good question. The Workforce Optimization Suite has some tools that are especially helpful for home agents. For example, you may want to record the agent's screen along with the conversation. If an agent is working in the office, obviously if they are doing something that's outside of compliance, for example, perhaps they're browsing the web while talking to a customer, that's not behavior that you want to see an agent exhibiting. And it's a more tempting thing for an agent to do, perhaps, if they're working from their home office. So having the tools that let you record those screen scrapes along with the voice recording makes it much easier for you to quickly assess those things. You will want to be aware that they do require higher bandwidth and more storage. So judiciously use these tools, but they are an excellent source for just making sure that those home agents are in compliance with your work policies.
Are there any differences in the ways that these tools work for the remote worker as opposed to the worker who's sitting in cubicle row?
Largely, Guy, the answer is no. For the Avaya reporting and analytics solutions, the agent desktop solutions and such, those tools do perform the same way. If you don't have Avaya solutions throughout your contact center, you will want to check with the vendor to ensure that you are aware of any differences prior to deployment.
Kay, do you have any examples of best-in-class organizations who employ remote workers?
Guy, there are so many great examples. Alpine Access, they have a workforce of about 7,000 agents, all of whom work from their homes. Genworth Financial is another company, AAA of Mid-Atlantic states. Visiting Nurse Services, they were looking for experienced nurses to staff their contact center in downtown Manhattan overnight, because they're 24/7 service. That's hard to do, to find someone willing to work at night shift in Midtown Manhattan. So they solved that problem by using home agents. There are a lot of great examples and a couple of white papers that you can find on Avaya.com. One of them is called Go Green with Home Agents, and the other is Best Practices for Home Agents. And Guy, you can provide those links.
I understand that in business continuity planning, remote agents can be a valuable tool. So, okay, what is the role of the remote agent in a business continuity planning scenario?
Remote workers are just an essential component of a business continuity plan, from my perspective, Guy, and that sentiment certainly is one borne out with the majority of customers that I have talked to on this topic. Even companies that have no intention whatsoever of having a regular home agent program are planning it as a business continuity contingency plan, where they would have the ability to have agents work from home. One wonderful example of that is the power company that serves New Orleans. After the hurricane there several years ago, they were able to get service back to a large number of constituents immediately, whereas if they had not had home agents, they would not have been able to respond so well and so quickly. So there are so many things that can make your facility unreachable. You could have a fire or a flood, a blizzard or a transit strike could keep your agents from being able to actually make it into the office. And so having that home agent ability as part of your business continuity plan is certainly a wise thing to look at.
Do you have any other thoughts to share with this global audience of listeners of this podcast?
There are some additional considerations that companies will want to think about. For example, you are, by implementing a home agent program, you are having a significant environmental impact. There are tools that are available through Avaya to help you assess the environmental impact of not having, say, let's say you transition 100 workers from in the office to at home. Well, how much were they driving per day? How many gallons of gas were being used for that commute? What is the carbon footprint? And companies are starting to tout their green stories. And as a matter of fact, it is a great way to get your company name in the media in a positive way by saying, look what our company is doing. Look at the environmental impact that we are making by having our home agent program. Another thing to think about is one of the big costs of a contact center revolve around agents who may be transitory. They may move to another company. It is a great way to hire and keep the best agents. It is a really attractive thing for someone to be able to perhaps work a few hours from their office for wages that they might not be willing to drive into an office for. So you're able to attract a more highly qualified agent pool. Many of them are college graduates, where they may be stay-at-home moms or dads who want to work while their children are in school, who just simply wouldn't get into the car and make a commute to be able to do that. You're also able to hire, for example, physically handicapped workers who may be terrific workers but who don't have the ability to commute into the office. Take a look at the cost impact to your business if you are able to reduce the attrition of your agent population, so you're having a significant impact in a positive way on the hiring and attrition costs of losing agents to a competitor. It's going to help your bottom line in a big way.
Great, Kay. So we're just about done here, but would you like to take a moment to summarize what we've talked about?
certainly, Guy. The one thing that I would like to leave listeners with is to think about the impact of not having home agents. If you are not doing this yet today, chances are your competitors are. They are attracting the best talent and keeping them more readily, perhaps, than you are. So it's impacting your bottom line adversely if you are not implementing home agents. You probably need to look at implementing home agents at least for a business continuity perspective, and then perhaps transitioning slowly, a few at first. I would suggest putting a toe in the water with a trial program, see how it goes, and then look at implementing home agents in your office. It's a way to stay ahead of the competition.
Well, thank you, Kay. Dear audience, thank you for joining us here today on the APN Podcast Network as we continue the discussion in answer to Joshua Millsap's question, is remote work too remote? We've been speaking with Kay Phelps, who works in contact center marketing for North America with Jabra. This is your host, Guy Clinch, and I am looking forward to our next conversation on the APN Podcast Network.
This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN.